The first thing I want to say is that God is still on his throne and that he is still working. And that I stand before you today again in the name of Jesus. I'm needy. I need the Lord. I need your prayers. I feel very insufficient. There is a scripture that tells me that. My sufficiency is only of thee. So I'd like for us to sing a song. I'm going to put a figure on the board. Don't usually do this. I'm not usually inspired that way. The Lord woke me up sort of early one morning and began to deal with my heart. And so I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will let us all leave today and have something that we can carry with us the rest of the way. I'd like for us to sing in the Blue Book, number 130. Don't sing that song very much, do we? Not familiar, but heaven will be worth it all. And we want to talk about some of that all today. So I have quite a drawing up here. I've asked Robert to send a song to our phones. I have one major cross here, and I want this song to focus our minds on the price that was paid when Jesus went to the cross for you. You know what? You can become such a big part of a group of society and people and even the congregation and lose sight of what he's done for you, what he's done for me. And I believe he's wanting us to concentrate on what he has done. Won't be all of the message. As a matter of fact, it's almost a conglomeration. Not sure how far we can even get with it. So I want us to sing, "He could have called 10,000 angels." He didn't have to die on the cross. He could have chosen to come down. So Robert, can you lead that song?
Crucify and peace to the way.
Going to make a few comments about the drawing, what it represents, because we're going to talk about the cross. I've lived long enough that maybe I'm up here close to the crown. Maybe some of you have lived long enough that you may have heaven in view. But you started somewhere. To be on this narrow way, and there's only one way, that leads to life. The broad way leads to destruction. Yes. We've been taught that, and we believe it. Yes. But the narrow way, it's not the easy way. There's a lot of living that happens along this way. And I've sort of been referring to phases of life in the last few messages, been referring to stages of life. And as I even look across the few that are here today, many of you are at different stages of life. There's many different crosses along the way. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. It's not just taking up your cross one time. We're going to talk about that. But every stage, every phase of your life, as you go along, you're going to have experiences that will be unique to you. Oh, God is so wise. Oh, we could produce many scriptures that says He knows everything about you. He knew you before you were born. You believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. I'm going to refer to this before I give you this song, because we're going to have some songs with messages. There was a message preached at Guthrie, maybe the first message, I'm not sure. God has a plan for each of you. Don't lose sight of that. Don't forget it, that it's really God. If you're going to be His child, if you're going to walk the narrow way, He's the one that has the plan. The scripture says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Do you know how to direct your steps? You know how to order your life? Do you know what's best for you? Oh, we talk about choices, and we encourage one another to make the right choice. And we need to make right choices. But the bottom line is that God has the plan. He knows what to do in your life, what to order in your life. For the ultimate goal, like Sister Cheryl said, Lord, put that thing in my life that will help me make heaven. That needs to be our cry, our prayer. You know, God, what will help me see inside your heaven. What will help me hear, well done. I don't know how to do it. So I want to give you a song. I'm just going to read some of the verses. I walked one day along a country road, and there a stranger journeyed to. Bent low beneath the burden of his load, it was a cross I knew. Take up thy cross and follow me, I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? Oh, let me bear thy cross, dear Lord, I cried, and lo, a cross for me appeared. Did you know you have a cross with your name on it? You've heard the little allegory or story, may come from streams in the desert. And this woman thought that her cross was the worst of all, the heaviest. She looked around at other people. Don't look at other people's crosses and compare, because I want to tell you something. The word of the Lord says for us not to compare ourselves among ourselves, because it is not wise. And so in this dream or whatever it was that the woman had, and she saw these crosses she thought was beautiful. And she thought, surely that cross is lighter than mine. And so I think that maybe the crosses were all hung up on a line, and each person could go and choose their cross. And they all ended up with the cross they started out with. Have you ever heard that talk? You know, it's right for you. the cross meant for you is right and for me. So lo, a cross for me appeared, the one forgotten I had cast aside. I want to tell you, the crosses that come into our life, we get tempted. This is too much. Have you ever went before the Lord and said, Lord, I can't bear anymore? It's too much. Have you felt that way? I think we have. I think there's been times that we have thought, this is more than I can bear. And yet we have to go back to the scriptures and to the promises when he said, I will not give you more than you are able to bear, but I will, when you are tempted with the temptation, I'll make a way for you to escape. Have you ever found that way of escape in your trials? I think we have. I don't think I'm speaking a foreign language here this morning. I think everyone can look back over their life and at the crosses they have had, and they can say, it was right. What is that song that said, right was the pathway that led to this, where I am today? Oh, I want to tell you, we can be so tempted to think, surely, God, you didn't understand. You didn't know when you brought me this cross. It is so important that we be able to identify and name our crosses all along the way. It's not going to stay the same. You're young, you that are young, you that are facing changes in your life, and you're going to move on away from your family, and you're going to start developing your family. It's not going to be the same cross you had as a teenager. Or we that were teenagers, we probably said the same things our young people say today. Oh, I've been going through such a hard trial. You ever said that as a teenager? Is there any place along the way that you've quit saying it? It changes. It all develops. So God has a plan. And it is your cross. There's another song. It says, must Jesus bear his cross alone and all the world go free? What's the answer? No. For there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. You know, we are familiar when we see a cross. We see people all the time, and please don't think I'm just passing judgment. It's just a matter of fact. They may have tattoos. They may have dyed hair, but they can have a cross around their neck. I wonder what God thinks of that. But the cross became a symbol. Of Christianity all over the world. I'm glad we don't use it in that same way. This thing doesn't want to open. There, I got it. How should you and I witness to the world of a cross without it hanging around our neck? I'll tell you how. It is to demonstrate that we are his followers. That there should be evidence. Now, this is how I want to tell you this part the Lord gave me after I got here. There should be evidence or a demonstration of the cause and purpose of the cross. It should be manifested in our life, and it's, excuse me if I cross any lines here, but, you know, some think that a wedding ring is going to show you're married. But there should be a demonstration in the life that you don't need that. See? I'm faithful to my companion. I'm married. I have left all others. And it should be the same when it comes to bearing our cross. There should be something that says, I don't have to wear a cross for you to even think that I am a Christian. I should be an example of what Christ has told us to do. Did you know that Jesus didn't really talk about the cross very much? When I began to look into the Word of God again, because we've all studied it before, he only spoke of the cross 7 times to his disciples and to other people. He didn't go into great detail of what it would represent to them. They were to understand when they witnessed him giving his life on this cross. When he could have called 10,000 angels and destroyed the world, and he could have saved himself. That's what he wants us to understand. He said in different places, take up your cross. It's a choice. Take up your cross and follow me. And he said in another place, you can't be my disciple if you don't embrace your cross. And he goes on and he said, he that will save his life will lose it. When I take my own way, I'm going to lose my life. But he said, if you lose your life, you can save it. Seems backwards. But I want to tell you, it's the answer to winning a crown. In every phase of your life, doesn't matter. I've been through the phases now. Some of you have too. We've come too far to turn back, haven't we? So I want to talk a little bit about what it means to take up your cross, because Jesus spoke of this. And it's hard for us to sometimes really understand what it means to deny myself. But that's the rule. That's what Jesus taught, that you have to deny yourself in order to bear a cross to win a crown. So I'm going to talk a little bit about denying ourselves. All along the way, there's places of self-denial. And that changes. Part of the Sunday school lesson this morning was about being able to see, to understand. We really don't know ourselves until we pass through some things. And the Lord, in His plan, allows this. And then all of a sudden, you see yourself. And the Lord has shown me myself many times. And every time that He has spoken to me and said, "You are this," I knew it was true. Embracing the cross and denying ourselves, it's a spiritual discipline, and it's required. You want a crown? Seek God to show you how to deny yourself to win that crown. I believe He'll show it to us. He has me. Self-denial, I wrote this down, is an essential part of our cross and our walk. So I'm going to give you a few little, maybe a little bit of testimony. A number of years ago, I was saved. Lauren wasn't saved at the time, but he had the fear of God. He passed the FAA test. And I was so elated. I wanted to leave Oklahoma so bad. I was sick and tired of Oklahoma. To be truthful. Oh, I was excited. Oh, we're finally going to move somewhere else. I've told you all that Lauren was ultra honest. Well, it cost him the job. And he was hired. It's just that they ask one question: have you ever taken an antihistamine for your allergies? He had never had a prescription ever. He took Allerest one time. And so he says yes. And it cost him the job. He could have contested it. He would not. Me, I'll tell you, I was grieving and crying and acting like a you know what. Oh, I couldn't hardly bear it that I was going to have to stay in Oklahoma. And the years go by. And we look back. And how right it was. Where would my daughters have been had we moved? You work for FAA, you go where they want you to. Lauren, he first said, well, we're not going to move anywhere where there isn't a church. And we traveled to different places where he could have been hired. But you know that changes with money. Oh, that was a bitter pill for me. But it was so right. When Jan died, she could have been somewhere else. She could have not even been in a congregation. And then where would she have been? Oh, I want to tell you, God's plan is right. Oh, if you're feeling discontented, pray for God to make you contented. I've been there. And not just once. Oh, this is a confession, you know. I just knew that this congregation needed a man, a pastor. And so, you know, Lorne, he followed me. Now I thought, it's time for us to resign. It's time for us to go somewhere else. And at first I was really thrilled about the idea, he was too. So when I resigned, I wrote a letter to everybody. I was too much of a coward to say it. Handed the letter out and we went home. I get home and I'm on my knees and I am wailing, literally wailing. You've heard me tell this before, I think, before the Lord. Oh God, I cannot leave those people until you send them a pastor. And when I said that, I got peace. Came back that night. I was the only minister here at that time. And others had grieved about my letter. And I said, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not leaving until God sends us a pastor. And here it is, 2025. God has a plan. And it's not what we think. It's not what we think should be. Oh, I still think the congregation needs a man minister. Well, we have a man minister. But you understand what I'm trying to say. But it was me. And he said, this is your cross. He plainly said it to me. It's not been easy. But you know what? When the Lord spoke to me and said, this is your cross, it made it easier. When I submitted to the cross, when I denied myself, when I laid down what I wanted to do and thought it was the answer and now I'm this old and looking back. God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. I want to tell you something. Our way is not best. It doesn't work. Amen. You're right. But God's way will work. If we take it. Yes. So whatever stage of life you're in today, and whatever you're longing for personally, your plans, your ideas, you think you know what is best, and slow down. Take a step back. Recognize that God wants you to be able to come to this place and say, God's way was best. It will work. If I wasn't at this place right now, I might not be able to say it to you. If I was way back down here and considering what I wanted then, if I held on to what I wanted, I would not be able to tell you God's way is best. So I want to... I said, there's a message in every song. Oh, there's... You know, the scriptures don't really say a whole lot about... the cross. But songwriters have. They have had experiences and wrote it down. And when you have gotten past, say, you've gotten past this first little cross, and the Lord begins to open things up to you, and we start singing some of these songs, and you say, yes, and you raise your hand in song, it means you've learned something from your cross. I doubt we can give all of the songs, but I'll give some. Oh, somebody, let me think. There might be a songbook up here. Right here's one. The first one I want to give is 171. If you want to turn and read some of the verses with me. We probably won't sing them for the sake of time, but the title of this song is The Cross. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. You have to learn the preciousness of the cross. You have to experience the goodness of the Lord. How many times that God has met you at your cross, you have met Him at your cross, and He's proven Himself to you. He's answered your prayer. He's altered your thinking. He's changed your mannerisms, your characteristic. He's shown you who you are, and you've recognized it, and it becomes precious. My testimony is that in every place along the way, as God began to show me myself and deal with my heart and say, this is what you are, and I recognized it and admitted it and humbled myself and repented, I never have taken any of that back. Thank the Lord. You can't take it, pick it back up. If you build again the things you once destroyed, you'll be a transgressor. That's my testimony, and I'm glad. I'm glad that I can tell you that. Because I tell the Lord that now. Lord, look back at my life. Look at how that when I repented of those things, I never have taken it back up. God knows. I found the cross to be precious. 'Twas there I counted all but loss. 'Twas there I gave my heart to God. 'Twas there he washed me in his blood, and he spake the words, 'Thy sins forgiven,' and filled my soul with peace from heaven." Oh, there's another song that came to my mind. Oh, I think I wrote it down here somewhere. And it is well with my soul. And it doesn't necessarily call it the cross, but it speaks about, oh, let me see if I've written it down. The words are so rich in that particular phrase. And it speaks about my sins being nailed to the cross, never to be brought back again. Oh, it's in that song, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Oh, the bliss of this glorious
thought. Oh, the bliss. Speak it up. I want to repeat it.
Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought.
Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought.
My sin not in part, but in whole.
My sin not in part, but the whole.
It's nailed to the cross.
It's nailed to the cross.
And I bear it no more.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I want to tell you something. You can find in places that makes you know the cross is precious. Oh, the cross, the precious cross, 'twas only the only way for sinners lost, the only way that we can gain an entrance to the heavenly plain. 'Twas there my night was turned to day. 'Twas there I found the heavenly way. Have you found it? Oh, the cross, the precious cross. 'Twas there I counted well the cost. I want to tell you, we have to count the cost to deny ourselves and bear our cross. 'Twas there my soul was sanctified. 'Tis there I ever will abide. 'Tis there we find the purest gold and joys that never can be told. Someone told me the other day, "I think you've lost your joy." You know, I couldn't say you're wrong. There's something about bearing the cross that we don't always have great joy. Did you know that? Oh, you might think I should have joy all the way through. I want to tell you something. There's places that you have your joy only by faith. Don't want to discourage you. Face the truth. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. To me, this world is not but dross. Far richer treasures now I own, while up the shining way I run, when in that heavenly land I'll see the one who bore the cross for me. Aren't these precious words that someone penned? I don't even know the writer of these. Lucy Lewis or something. Old songs. Two 14. I need to close this out. I just maybe you can look at some of these songs in your devotions and But this particular song, when I was a teenager, I was in California, and it was at the Pacoima meeting, and there were a lot of young people there at that time, and I don't know why this song still is in my mind from that many years ago. And may I say now that I would love to be able to be on my knees. I long to bow, but I have to do it in my heart. At the cross of Jesus bowing, here I find something. I find a safe retreat from a world of care and trouble. In his presence calm and sweet, at the cross of Jesus bowing, here I count my blessings o'er. Here I drink of life's pure fountain, drink until I thirst no more. At the cross of Jesus bowing, here I spend life's sweetest hour. Here I taste the joys of heaven, fill my heart with conquering power. Oh, there's so many good words about bowing at Jesus' cross. So our little message today, I'm going to close for the sake of time, and I can sort of get carried away. And oh, there's a short phrase in number 300, I must leave to you today before we end this. And it says in the fourth part of the fourth verse and the fifth verse, tell me not of heavy crosses. Do you believe there's going to be some heavy crosses? Let's face the truth and face reality. But what's the promise? That he'll bring us through and bring us out into a wealthy place. But the writer here says, don't tell me about heavy crosses, nor of burdens hard to bear. For I found this great salvation makes each burden light appear. And I love to follow Jesus, gladly counting all but dross, worldly honors all forsaking. For what? For the glory of the cross. This person had a vision, and a lot of it is by faith. The last verse says, oh, the cross, the wondrous glory, has wondrous glory. Oft I've proved this to be true when I'm in the way so narrow. I can see a pathway through. And how sweetly Jesus whispers, take the cross. Can you hear him speak that to you today in the tenderest tones? I can. The one thing, and I've told you this before, the one way to always identify the voice of the Lord is by the tenderness of his voice. He's not going to rail on you. He's just not. He's going to appeal with tender, loving, kind tones. And I can hear it. And how sweetly Jesus whispers, take the cross. You don't need to fear. For I've tried the way before thee, and the glory lingers near. Don't be afraid to pick up your cross. All along the way. Because the cross you are bearing today is not going to be your last one. The plan of God is ever unfolding. And how do you think God unfolds his plan? You know it all ahead of time? You know that, oh, next year I'm going to do this? You're not going to know that. It is day by day as you walk, as you live for God, as you pray, as you read, as you go through trials, as you suffer. Oh, do we suffer? You will suffer physically. You will suffer emotionally. Does that sound negative? He has the help. And it's in his plan to do something with you, because he says everything that I bring into your life is going to work for your good. And it's hard to believe that sometimes. Hold on to it. It's a promise. God will open up his plan day by day, year by year, and cross by cross. And he'll give grace. Grace is part of the cross, because he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my grace is made perfect in your weakness. Pray for me.